With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Paul, would you mind giving me a mic check?
Sure.
Wow, sounds really good. I've got a good feeling about this podcast.
I do too.
Welcome to In Voorhees We Trust with Gorley and Rust. My name's Matt Gorley.
And my name's Paul Rust.
Paul, what are we doing here?
I think we're celebrating cinema's best franchise in history.
And that's coming from a guy who has a podcast on another franchise, me.
Those are bold words for me to make there, a bold claim to make.
Yeah, but I think you're not wrong. I don't remember how this happened, but you mentioned something, as you often do on Twitter, about Friday the 13th, or as you sometimes do.
Yeah, I think you caught me maybe on the fourth tweet I had made about Friday the 13th in as many weeks. And you would tweet at me, "Hey man, first of all, I think we need to have just a talk about your obsession about this." No, you were like, "Hey, I'm a fan too.
Yeah,
let's do a podcast."
As is so often the case these days, one errant tweet will get you in a lot of trouble. And here you are. And that was a few months ago or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then it was in the works. We were talking about it. And, You know, I have plenty of interests that I could devote towards a podcast. But this really was the first time that I felt a burning desire to do a podcast about something I like.
Yeah. And we're not the first. We're not going to be the last. But God damn it, we're going to be the most heartfelt Friday the 13th franchise podcast liable to hear.
Much like the sequels, it won't be the first and it won't be the last. There will be many more that will go on continuously for the rest of our lives and beyond. Also, I love the title of our show, and as long as you didn't hear a difference in room tone when the title was said, I think we stuck with the title.
You're right.
Right? As long as a person who was listening closely didn't hear a imperceptible
little
they got cold feet, they changed it, but
that's right. Yeah, you might even want to hit that little 15-second go back thing a few times and see if we really stuck it out, because we had some other names we were spitballing back and forth.
Would it be worth just talking about the ones we were spitballing?
I think so,
yeah. Well, I think there was the Matt and Paul and Jason,
which I really liked. That was your idea. I really liked it because it's so just chatting. We're just chatting. We're gabbing with Jason. We're chilling.
Yeah. And then I think there was a fear that for the true fans, they would maybe go, "Well, Jason wasn't the killer of the first one.
Right.
I'm not even going to listen to this podcast just on that basis alone."
And if we were to use that, we couldn't have even covered the first movie. We would have done the, there's 12, right?
Yeah. Yes, 12.
So we would have done 11 of the 12, and that just wouldn't have felt right.
It wouldn't have the same ring.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that but that said, you know, as much as we want the fans of the Friday 13th to be a fan of this, mm-hmm. I also don't want people to be like, "I've never even seen a hockey mask in my life."
Right. I live in a tropical climate. I don't watch sports. I don't watch movies. I just listen to podcasts about them, but I got to know right away what they're about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We wouldn't want them to be scared off
right.
either.
So we knew it had to have a clear and distinct reference to the films. We also knew, devil be damned, that it had to rhyme. We knew that it had to rhyme.
Yeah. And what's Stephen Sondheim says, the best rhymes are the ones where the two words that rhyme aren't spelled the same.
Oh.
Like, unconsciously, people appreciate those rhymes more because they know bat and cat.
Yeah.
It's not that clever.
Right. It's just the first letter that's
but
changed.
But Voorhees and Gorley, they're not even spelled the same and they rhyme. No. I mean, we had to do it.
Yeah.
Were there any other?
Well, there were some that were not quite as strong contenders, like Crystal Lake Gazette.
I like that.
I don't know. That was a dumb one of mine. What was it? We had a couple more in the early days.
Well, you had the, you were the one who suggested, even knew of the fact that Gorley of Orly entrusted Russ rhymed.
Yeah, but you punched this up into perfection.
Like a true team.
Yes, that's right.
We had each other's backs, that's and right. one would have been lesser without the other.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It was... trust in Voorhees with Rust and Gorleys.
Which would mean we'd have to have one of your family members come, right? So we could have plural Gorley.
Oh, you're right. Every time there would have to be. Well, yeah, I guess Amanda's technically
right.
a Gorley. We could have had her at least pop in once.
Right, and then it would cover us legally.
Legally,
when people have a fine tooth comb through this and go, actually, I think there was only one Gorley.
That's right.
In these episodes,
they're not going to get us in any way. No way. Should we tell people, new listeners, who we are, and then what we plan to do with this show?
Yes.
I'm so excited
because this is just a teaser.
Mm. Oh yeah, that's
this
the
is
first
just
thing.
A wedding of the appetite,
an hors d'oeuvre,
right?
Yeah,
which I guess if we think about it as like in Friday the 13th terms, there's a really good teaser trailer for Friday the 13th Part 8. So maybe that's like what we're trying to reach here. It's like I don't know if you've seen it recently, but it's like a fake out, or it's a shot of the New York skyline and sort of like...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Sinatra music playing.
You don't know it's a Friday the 13th.
Yeah, yeah, you think it's maybe going to be like a Nora Ephron romantic comedy. Because then you see a man standing looking over the skyline. You still don't know it's Jason.
That's absolutely...
Then that little devil, he reveals himself.
He's our little friend. So yeah, we're gonna do one episode for every... film of the 12 films, plus I think a live episode, for a total of how many?
I can't even say.
I want to quit this podcast. I didn't know it would be so hard.
I bet every time we do one of these, it's going to be so hard for me to get out of my car, because I'm just like,
come in.
Yeah, I'll be like, I know I'm going to have to face abject terror.
I'm not even going to be here. I'll turn the lights off and be hiding so that you'll go home.
And then I'll have to like sneak a microphone kind of underneath the door. and we'll have to like remix because the chattering of our teeth will be too loud. Oh, I like the podcast. It's just their teeth are chattering the whole time. They're nibbling on their fingernails. Do you think, before we get into our histories, do you think anybody has had that reaction to watching a Friday the 13th movie?
Is that actually
chattering down on their fingernails?
Gosh.
Or has anybody?
I think
in the history is
statistically, first of all, that cartoon cliche has to come from somewhere.
Right.
Which means it probably has happened. And there's enough people that have seen enough of these movies. I'm going to say yes, there's probably... one or two.
Do you think, going further with the cartoon comparison, do you think anybody's watched this and they got so scared that they turned completely white, turned to stone, the stone cracked,
yes,
and then a little dustpan came and swept them up?
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Uh-huh.
People have stories about that, like, oh, when you saw Friday the 13th in the theater, people were just running up the aisles, turning white into stone and cracking. And
I honestly, the credits rolled, and I looked around, and everyone had turned to stone. which A, was freaking me out, but B, shows I'm pretty tough. pretty not much phases me.
Yeah, you're pretty brave. Yeah. Well, maybe that is that's a good Sigi? Is that how you pronounce it?
I think it's Siju.
Maybe that's a good Siju into our histories, because I do feel like, I don't know about you, but I feel like the thing about watching these was sort of, it was like a test of your strength and bravery.
It was. Yeah. Yeah. It was a little like trial, like a maybe like a rite of passage into manhood, because, you know, you do it with your friends, but you had to seem tough and interested, but I was still scared.
Yes. Yeah. I wonder how frequent that experience is for people, is the, like, having watched it with a group and having to prove your mettle by not, like, getting too scared and calling. Because when I was a kid, that was partly the fear of watching a scary movie at a sleepover or something was a two-parter fear. That's what made it so scary, was one, what if the movie just scares me and then I can't, you know, it scares me.
Yeah.
And then the other one was, what if it scares me so much that I can't fall asleep at night, or I'm scared to go to bed, and I'll have to confess to my parents, hey, I watched this illicit thing at the sleepover, you know, with violence and nudity. And then your sort of admission that you did something illicit was also going to, like, that was scary.
That's
was like,
double jeopardy.
Yeah, like, oh, I'll be trapped in my fear after I watch this, because then I can't go. It's not like I could go, hey, I got scared because a cat jumped at me.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, don't worry, Paul. Cats are nice.
I'm just realizing, so that was a concern of yours, the parent thing. You and I are coming at this from different angles, because my parents...
You were a parent when you were...
I was. I was the most just virile child. I can't even explain. They're everywhere, my children. My parents were extremely, and they would say the same thing, too liberal with what they would let me watch. Like, it just wasn't really a concern. And to that extent, it scared me because I saw too much. And so...
But at least you had like a backup, like you could talk... say to them, because they knew you had seen it.
I had a place to put my blame.
Yeah. Yeah. Even to this day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so what was that? Did your parents like sat you down and said, hey, you're going to watch the final chapter?
Well, I've said this, I've told the story on podcasts before, so I'll just do the nutshell version. When I was probably seven-ish, my babysitter turned out the lights and made me watch Halloween.
Whoa.
And so that is the franchise that first movie truly scares me. And, you know, if all of this goes well, who knows? I don't want to talk about a second season of our...
Oh, boy.
Already people are talking about what gangbusters podcast this is.
Before we even started recording... Mm-hmm. There was people knocking on your door.
They're out the window right now.
Yeah, they're saying with signs that say H? And I think they mean Halloween.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's like you've seen the Today Show where there are people outside the studio with signs and stuff. Yeah. Bunch of Michael Myers in different shapes and sizes.
You'd think that would be scary to look out a window and see a sea of Michael Myers's.
It's the most scary. Yeah. But thank God there's a Freddy already talking about season 3. out there. So,
and is that a pinhead I detect?
There's a conjuring out there. Oh my God.
I think, both of us self-admitted bigger fans of Halloween than any of the Friday the 13th. I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but the original Halloween I like more than any of the Friday the 13th. But as a franchise, my heart lies most with, and you'll understand why I said heart when you watch Jason Goes to Hell and somebody eats a heart.
The only one I have not seen.
When you watch it, you'll laugh at my heart.
I can't wait. I'm cataloging that reference. Is it that the franchise, I'm with you, I think as a whole, the franchise is way more fun than Halloween. Halloween's a little more scary and serious and subdued. Well, not the later ones, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think... it's I think it's common knowledge that Friday the 13th wouldn't exist if not for Halloween. Like, I think the Sean Cunningham, who's the director of the first one, said as much, which is like, I think the screenwriter Victor Miller said Sean Cunningham called him up and was like, hey, we should rip off Halloween.
Yeah, I believe so.
So they just sat down and write. And so it doesn't come as from, I guess, it doesn't have an esteemed of history. Because when Halloween came out, people were like, they didn't think it was trash, right? It was
no, like, yeah, because yeah, it's like I believe the way it goes is you have respected. Black Christmas, which is kind of like the first slasher film, though Halloween is the one that kind of brought it mainstream, even though it was an indie movie.
Right.
Then you had the copycat slasher films, the Jason movies and like Slumber Party Massacre and all of those. God, we could do a four season on just the one-offs. Then
yes,
you have like, you go into the 90s where it has to satire those films with Scream.
Right.
Then you get into the parody with Scary Movie. And then it comes kind of like full circle back to the reboots of Friday the 13th, Halloween.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't think about how the reboots came after the heels of self-parody.
Kind of like Casino Royale came after the Bond franchise got so crazy.
Right, so you eventually have to like bring it back to...
Yeah, self-correct.
I mean, for me, I think, the comparison to Halloween, because Halloween came out in 78, and I think Friday 13th is 80. So pretty quickly, they were...
Basically, the movie came out and they went like, let's start shooting.
Came out on a Friday. Sunday morning, maybe? They were starting to talk about how can we rip this off.
When's the next Friday the 13th? And that was probably it.
They're like, tomorrow?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I thought based on the story we were telling, it was Saturday or Sunday. But yeah, I think maybe my preference for this as a franchise is the Friday 13th came out faster.
Yeah.
So, and as you'll find out soon, my preference does lie more with the early ones. And I think a lot of that is just like maybe 90% the period detail. Like, I like a 81, 82 haircut more than a 87, 88 haircut.
Yeah.
And that could maybe is like what it all just goes down to.
Yeah. I think for me, it's for the guys, it's their short shorts. And for the girls, it's the blouses with those like fringe shoulders.
Fringe, yeah.
I mean, that goes for a lot. I mean, that's really all you need in a film. I don't know.
And I'm not a big Jean-Luc Godard fan. I'm not being pretentious here quoting him, but he has that thing. When
I love that this is coming out on this podcast.
What's he say? He goes like, he says like, all you need for a movie is a girl and a gun. But I think it's short shorts and sleeves with fringe on them.
Yeah,
that's all you need for a good movie.
And if you've got a machete in there, then you're really doing it. You put Godard into our Friday the 13th podcast. This is what I'm talking about. This podcast is going to change the way we think about the medium.
The genre of life,
the medium of existence. Now, if you're listening to this, you're probably just, you've stopped whatever you're doing.
Right, you've pulled over, if you're driving this and you've pulled over to the side of the road and said, punch in time at work be damned.
Yep.
I got to have full concentration listening to this.
Yeah, and if you were already pulled over doing God knows what, you reprobate.
Shame on you.
You just hit the gas and drove off, and you're probably never coming back because life's going to be different from here on.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to think more. It's not I pulled over to avoid work. Uh-huh. It was I was driving to work, and I just drove right by it. Because I would have that fantasy with my high school job.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I worked at a grocery store, and I'd be like, what if I just kept driving past this grocery store?
I worked at a grocery store too.
Really?
Yeah.
See, this is also what's going to come out with this podcast. Yeah. Is personal biography.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, what grocery store?
It was a Midwestern chain called Hy-Vee.
Hy-Vee?
Yeah. Which I don't think they saw the AIDS epidemic rearing its head when they originally named their thing something so close to HIV, but the kids. In high school, they had a lot of fun with that. But yes, it was a Midwestern chain called Hy-Vee. And Hy-Vee, shop Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Right?
Aww.
So it was good. But some people would say, my aunt had a joke because all of her brothers, my uncles worked there. And she'd say, where there's an imbecile in every aisle, which is a pretty, she had a career of song spoofery ahead of her. What was your grocery store chain?
Hepatitis. Mine was Ralph's. So okay. When you were working at yours, what era of Friday the 13th was it? Do you remember?
I think it was in the dark years.
So like a Jason Goes to Hell time? Oh, like the dark when they weren't making
them. They weren't making any of them. Okay. I was probably there 97 to 2000, 96 to 2000. And because I remember, yeah, a group of my friends dropped by while I was working to let me know they all went and saw The Wedding Singer, Matt. And I didn't get to go.
No.
What about you? What were the movies coming out during your Ralph?
Mine was period? Like, I think it was like Die Hard, maybe like Jason Goes to Hell time, I think. Because
mm-hmm.
It was my very first job. I was 16.
Yeah, mine
Ralph's,
too. Yeah, yeah.
Ralph's bagging groceries.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. And then when you hear Letterman.
Yeah,
sacked groceries,
I know.
You're like, oh.
And then he did the competitions.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah. I know. And I would watch the I still, when I go into a grocery store today, to this day, and I'm watching the person sack up the groceries, if you grew up with any sort of sliver of OCD Tetrisness mm-hmm.
oh,
as
yeah.
a kid,
yeah.
sacking groceries is actually... Kids, if you're suffering from obsessive compulsive disorder, mm-hmm. get a job as a sacker.
Yeah.
Because It's great. You get to like...
You get paid for it.
You get to compartmentalize and then yeah. put it together neatly in a sack. And uh-huh. then people love you for it.
Yes.
So when I go to a grocery store and somebody starts putting like frozen stuff with non-frozen stuff,
oh,
I'm
no.
like, you amateur.
Yeah.
Get me back there.
I think what OCDs I have, I developed later in life. So I was probably a horrible grocery bag. I didn't want to be there. My dad was like, come on, you should get a job. And
yeah,
I fought it as long as I could.
And what was the Ralph's choice? Was it like nearby your house or your friends
yeah.
worked there?
And I think it was probably the first job I got hired at. I think I mm-hmm. also applied at a hardware store where you had to take a test, like how many pecs in a bushel. And like, what child knows this?
Yeah.
And shouldn't you have warned me that I would need to know
yeah,
this?
Give me some pec bushel heads yeah. up here before yeah. I come in. Do you think the hardware store was influenced by the hardware store robbery in Halloween? Or
gosh, it could have been.
Teen
which
Wolf's
is
it? Workplace.
No, it would have definitely been Halloween. And that is now an Indian restaurant, which I've eaten at. That hardware store.
Oh, in Pasadena.
Yeah, in South Pass, yeah. Yeah.
What about the hardware store? Because in Teen Wolf, the hardware store is in Pasadena as well.
No shit.
I once watched Teen Wolf at the Rialto
uh-huh.
when it was at the theater in Pasadena. And there's a part where the van pulls onto the street that
oh
the Rialto was, and the audience like erupted into cheers.
That's like Blazing Saddles when they see the movie in the movie, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But this was
oh my God.
A real life version with 12 virgins. And yes, I moved out to Los Angeles in my early 20s. No, come on, guys.
Come on. Well, hey, stop picking on us, first of all.
I mean, maybe, yeah, so the, but to be a virgin in these movies is a good thing.
That's right. That's the only way you're going to make it, pretty mm-hmm. much.
But I'm going to push back on that, Matt. I'm already going to give you a heads up.
Okay.
I'm pushing back on that concept that people think these movies are... have a bent of conservatism.
Like a morality
yeah.
involved.
Yeah. And I'll just kind of give one little spoiler.
This is just as much your podcast as mine.
Well, let me know if I ever, you know, push
same
back.
Here, same here.
Okay, okay. But in part two, I recently rewatched, and I've probably seen that over a dozen times. What does that come out to? Over
13?
A baker's
uh-huh,
dozen.
A Jason's dozen.
Why did they call these movies a Jason's dozen?
I know.
Yeah, I think that would be way more effective.
Well,
than
the next
Friday
one would
13th.
Be the 13th one.
Right, so yeah. Maybe they'll call it a
Friday
Jason's...
the 13th, part 13, a
I'm
Jason's
sure if
dozen.
They're looking at a choice of either calling it Friday the 13th, part 13, or just a Jason's dozen. They'll
now I'm worried we
latter.
Should call this this podcast a Jason's dozen. So maybe you will hear a little hiss change.
You'll hear a hiss here too,
yeah.
And that'll be weird because it'll be a fake title that we came up with. So you'll have to, somebody will figure it out, the math.
Let's say we stick with In Voorhees We Trust, but the real fans go, you listen to Jason's dozen?
Right, that's the secret handshake
yeah.
of the, yeah. Definitely. I think that's good.
Okay.
When I was watching part two recently, there's a joke about, not a joke or something, like the main they always say, like, oh, the reason the main girl survives is because she hasn't sullied herself with sex. You know, right. Like, and in part two, it's actually that he's like, they're about to, and she's like, I have something to tell you. And then there's a joke. They cut to that it was because she was having her period.
It wasn't because she was a virgin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the first one's the same. Like, I don't really know. I think it's people who don't watch the movies, honestly, who like kind of take the attitude of like, oh, you know, the joke of the, and then the later movies kind of like there's jokes in Jason X and stuff that are about that, but
it was something I think more to do with the genre itself, because
right.
Halloween, it's interesting. Like, there's, I don't think there's any talk about Lori being a virgin. It's just that her friends are,
and she's also
fast
smoking pot.
Moving.
Yeah, and I recently rewatched Halloween. She's smoking a joint on the way to babysit the kids.
She should like, now I agree. She should be slaughtered. She absolutely should die.
But she walked up into those parents' house, like, all red-eyed and raking a pot. And like, yeah, whatever. You're no just, way. Like, make sure our kids... But how crazy that when you saw Halloween... I'm bouncing all over the place. Yeah. But a babysitter showed that to you. That had to be what was doubly...
And you know what's funny? Because she kind of looked like the main girl in Friday the 13th Part 2.
Oh, really?
She's kind of like strawberry blonde and freckled. Mm-hmm. And she was not my regular babysitter. And my sister was a little older. She's 3 years older than me. Mm-hmm. So she was into it. I was petrified. My parents weren't there. So I didn't want to watch. I saw some of it, but I was too afraid to go to the rest of the house because I'd be alone. So I sat in the doorway where I couldn't see the TV. So for years, I just heard a lot of the movie.
Ooh.
And then it would pop up and I was morbidly fascinated with it. And then finally, as a young adult, I watched it again and I was like, where is this scene and this scene? All these things I've had nightmares about. I had recurring nightmares for years.
Oh, but it's because of... You had an image in your head that matched the sound.
And I blended them.
Yeah.
And they weren't there. And then, I mean, we'll talk about this more as it goes on. I don't need to tell this whole story. It'll come out in full. But it's something I've had lots of little recurring moments with. And it's played a big factor in my life. But the reason,
just tell me a little bit of it.
Well,
man.
I just like, I really did have like sleep problems for years because of it. And even when I was... an adult, I was not afraid of it anymore, but I still had this like muscle memory that I had to wake up every 20 minutes to make sure I was safe because my room was in the front of the house and everybody else was in the back. And I thought, like, I was never scared of ghost movies because I didn't believe in it, but a slasher could be real.
Yes.
And then that's why I think I really took to the Friday the 13th franchise is that it was just kind of silly enough that it was a little disarming, but still had enough of that thing that scared me like Halloween did, but Halloween too much.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, because and also the trappings are different. You're not on a campground, but I also like that it's sort of like if it was I was gonna say slightly campier, literally and quite figuratively.
However you like it.
So you saw the Halloween movie first, and then the Friday the 13th movies after that.
Yeah, but. Halloween set me on a path to be so curious about those movies, so petrified, like a real push-pull. So I'd go to the video store and look at every horror movie's like artwork. And
that Silent Night, Deadly Night one is pretty evocative of the arm sticking out of the chimney.
With the
Santa
axe,
arm holding the axe. Yeah.
And then do you remember Fade to Black?
That's the one where the guys like got dressed up as like a half... Dracula?
Yeah, he's like, I've never seen it, so many of these things are burned into my mind, and I don't quite know what they are. Or Terror Train, which has Jamie Lee Curtis as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw Terror Train at a sleepover. Ooh. I, for real, started watching Fade to Black like 2 weeks ago, and I watched the first 5 minutes, and
it's not good.
It just didn't grab me the way I wanted it to.
Yeah, I've watched the trailer a bunch.
Yeah.
He's just a film fan that gets obsessed.
Yeah, I think,
It's not what the artwork on the video cassette will have you believe at Sam Goody. Actually.
I would love to know the ratio of good poster to good movie and also bad poster to great movie.
I bet it's very disproportionate.
Well, the... One that I think of a lot, too, is Ghoulies, because it had a ghoulie jump out of the toilet.
Right.
So you just have to see that once when you're a kid, and you're like, well, the...
The whole movie's that.
Yeah. And it's not. No. You don't even once see, I think, there's a shot of a toilet.
Yeah.
Or something, but the poster is not the same as the
right.
as the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which right. When you're a kid, you just hope the whole movie is just 2 hours of a ghoulie jumping in and out of a toilet.
Yes. up and down.
Yeah, he's having a good time. And then the twist is there's a trampoline inside. That's how he was getting so much air. But so, well, what was your first Friday the 13th then?
That is a good question. For me, it's like James Bond. I don't remember which would have been my first. They were always kind of there.
So. And let's just say, Matt, I saved this question for the podcast. I want listeners to know. We're doing a good job of like preserving these conversations so they can happen in real time.
Yeah, we don't know about these
questions.
This
isn't some fake thing. No, we're not some phonies who come in and recreate our off-the-cuff conversations, you know, from before, later on air.
And again, those podcasts are out there where they're pre-planning their conversation and their questions. Some of them are scripted, and that's the truth.
Every WTF is scripted.
Oh, that's true.
By the letter.
Uh-huh. Paul and I have both at some time, we've punched up those scripts. Not that they needed it.
No. But just sometimes for clarity.
Right.
You need
continuity. Yeah. We were script supervisors.
You need to know that where Jason Alexander went to college before he auditioned for Seinfeld. But yeah, so you for you it's a stew.
It was like God. It always existed and always will. What about you?
I saw it at a part eight was my first. And it was like a staying over at a friend's house who had the coolest older brother.
We're talking Jason Takes Manhattan.
Here. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And Jason takes Paul's heart and captures Paul's imagination.
Oh, yeah.
This was the original
Jason
title.
Jason takes your virginity, essentially.
I was spending the night at their house and they had Cinemax, which Pandora's box of other illicit stuff you could watch, but the and I do mean Pandora's box. It releases evil into the world.
Jason Voorhees.
And it was starting up. Jason Takes Manhattan. And
wait, you didn't even plan it. This was
Cinemax is on in the background. We're just hanging out, having fun, and talking, and staying up late. And I think this might have actually been the first time too that I stayed up all night. You know, one of those things where you're like hanging out with your buddies and it's like, it's 4:30. I've never been up this late. It's 5.
Yeah.
Hey, it's 6. The sun is up. So like technically we can go out and play now, that. So part of that, like that was such a fun adventure. Admits that I'm watching Friday 13th part 8. And it is like a little bit like a Bond movie or a season of SNL. The one that you was your sort of first.
Yeah.
Taste or first interest in it. I know people don't, you know, part 8 is maybe seen as a lesser work in the Friday the 13th canon, but it holds some special place in my heart because it was the first one I saw.
I am right there with you because in a different way, it was a first of mine. It was the first one I saw in the theater.
Was part 8?
Yes.
Cool.
And so I have a fondness for that movie too. And that you're right. That is one of the lowest regarded ones, I think.
What was the vibe that night? Do you remember seeing it in the theater?
It was electric, Paul. It was, I mean.
Literally, the seats were electrified.
Yeah.
It was a weird move of the theater.
I think that it was also one of the first times I was really getting a sense of how campy these films were, especially with all the humor when they go to New York / clearly Vancouver.
Right. Yes.
And I think I remember having a dream about the main girl in that. And it wasn't like an illicit sex dream. Uh-huh. I had a real romantic crush on that girl. So I'm really curious to revisit that film and see if we still have something.
So the dream was like you going out and buying like a Valentine heart of candy, chocolate candies and a bouquet of flowers.
It's funny because I remember her outfit more than her face at this point, which really, there's going to be a real through line for the fashion and how much it stuck with us.
I think there's some frosted jeans, maybe a vest.
Yeah,
I think in that ensemble.
I wonder if I'm right. My recollection of her is that she's wearing white jeans and like a floral print shirt and a brown leather jacket or something.
I think that's right. Oh, I could be wrong too, but no, your description of it was so vivid to me. So that's awesome that the first time you're first in the theater.
Yeah.
Is also my first. So that's already shared. What am I trying to
magic,
say? Magic. Shared magic. Yeah. Sheer sorcery.
Yeah, that's right.
That we share.
Fate.
But that, so did you, the previous ones you saw on a video cassette?
Yeah, by then my friend, I think it was mostly like my friend Chad McClure and I were really into these movies, and we would, you know, watch them through a lot of them with not even a sense of where they really fell in the chronology, like same way I watched Bond movies when I was a kid. I think, you know, it's like when you get to Lazenby in the Bond movie, you go, okay, this is clearly between two Bonds. So when you get to Friday the 13th, the first one, and there's no real Jason killer, you're kind of like, all right, this is the first one.
And how many people right now, I guess I said earlier, right at the very beginning, I said Jason's somewhere not really in it, but I bet for some people listening to this, they went, huh.
Yeah, and so we probably shouldn't even say anything more about that one, because there is, if you don't know who the killer is, you shouldn't. But we'll talk about it on that episode.
Is this like when somebody does a commentary track, is it supposed to be like you watch the movie before you listen to the commentary? Or
I think with the episode dedicated to that movie, it's fair game. But that's maybe true. Some people are coming to this not knowing much about the franchise. So we'll leave it mysterious.
Quite mysterious. Quite for you. Thrilling. Yeah, yeah.
And so then we thought we would, this is your idea and I love it. We're going to give our rankings of the film right now just based on our memory of them or our gut feeling, and then see how that changes when we, sorry, I was getting a phone call that probably only I could hear in my headphones.
Wow. Was it Paramount Pictures checking to see that this has been cleared? Like,
wait, they're standing outside with a sign. So cease and
to what? I'm not going to finish reading that. Yeah, if I finish reading it, then I'm legally obligated.
Plausible deniability. So we will rank them and then compare our rankings with the official watch and see how close we thought we'd
it's
be.
It's sort of like in Clue, the board game, when all the clues are in the little manila envelope for the end.
Yes.
This is us putting our...
Absolutely.
I'm going to continue this metaphor because I think it's perfect.
See it through.
That it's like we're putting in the little manila envelope everything, and then, you know, at the end of Clue, you would compare... I don't know. I can't do it. But I guess I'm just curious, like, what would be your feelings before it all began, and then afterwards, after we have a conversation and revisit it and discuss it, maybe we get swayed.
That's right.
By
each other, by the film.
I certainly think when you think of either of us, the thing you often think of is like those antagonists.
Yeah.
Those guys prone to conflict.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Bully pulpit guys for us, podcasting is sort of a Alex Jones, Bill O'Reilly kind of thing.
That's how I see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think. Which is heated, just button heads.
Constantly.
Yeah.
And they'll tune in and they'll go like, oh, you know, part 7 is really going to tear up. They'll think, are they even going to survive to the next episode?
No. And then they'll give us a show on cable news about taking sides for the Friday the 13th franchise. Yes. It couldn't be worse.
But yes, perhaps somebody will have an opinion that will sway one of the others. Or maybe a guest will have an opinion.
That's
that
right.
Makes me
I'm
rethink
open to
everything.
It all. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going into this with open eyes, open heart, open arms.
Yes. For some people, open wounds.
Yeah, open chest wound, open heart.
Yeah.
Surgery.
I like how genteel this podcast has been so far, considering.
Yeah. Well, we set out to make a gentleman's Friday the 13th podcast, finally. Like, this is
for the family.
Yeah, yes, it's for the family.
Because you watch these movies with your family.
You do.
You get the kids together.
You do, and it's finally time that these films got the respect they deserve.
Yes.
I mean, we were going to do English accents, but we...
we're both dressed as princes right now.
I'm not wearing really grungy shorts and strangely matching clothes.
Neither am I wearing clothes that I've worn 3 days in a row.
Well, that I am.
And have
sure.
the ripeness of utter. But yeah, let's, man, we can talk, right? Let's
do our rankings.
Yes, let's do the rankings.
Okay, so we decided to borrow from the James Bonding podcast of going, you know, 00 to 007, 007 being best. We're going to do.
And can I just say,
yeah,
hey, if you're somebody who hasn't watched James Bonding or listened to James Bonding, what are you, dope?
Right.
What are you, a moon-brained moron?
Are you just a dumb, slutty victim? Or are you going to be the chaste person who survives right. by their own wiles and wits and makes a choice to listen to good podcasting? But you must be because you're here today.
Yeah, right. And you've stayed on this long now.
Yeah.
But I'm the biggest fan of James, James Bonding. I love the podcast. And... hey, I'll just throw out another thing. If you like two dudes talking movies, Star Wars Minute is pretty good, too.
They are fantastic.
So, because I feel like we're standing on the shoulders of giants here.
That's
a little
right.
bit. The giant of James Bonding, the giant of Star Wars Minute.
Well,
I want to honor them.
But we're honoring the giant himself, Jason Voorhees. So
the literal giant.
I know. He is.
He's he's 30. What's the
30 feet?
I know it changes in the movies from movie to movie, but I think on average he's usually 30 feet tall.
Yeah, I think he's like three stories is usually the rubric by which they judge him. Yeah,
and the difficulty that they have to have casting such tall actors to make it look scale.
Yeah, remember when Vlade Divac played him? Is he's a tall guy from basketball? I don't know.
Those you can tell which one it is because in some shots Jason's dribbling a basketball. That's the one he was in. I forget which one it is.
Who's the guy from My Giant?
Billy Crystal.
Yeah, that's who I'm thinking of. He's huge. You don't see it because you know the camera takes off 10 feet. Anyway,
is he? No, he's a Mets fan in City Slickers. I was going to say if Billy Crystal was a Giants fan.
Oh, that would be something.
Then he would have. Could have.
Then we'd be earning our money. Then we would.
Yep.
So we're going 0 to 13, 13 being best.
Yes. 0 being the absolute worst.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. WURST.
The German food.
Yep.
Wurst.
Yeah, we hate that food. That's why we would say it's 0.
Yeah. Yeah. If the worst food is the Wurst, the best score is the Jason's Dozen. So these are food. The other thing is we planned the food terminology out
way long before we even this was an idea to even do a podcast about Friday the 13th. We were figuring out a food.
We said let's do a podcast that is somehow based on a food metric, and then immediately went Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th, of course. Yeah. They go hand in hand,
right?
But God darn it. Matt, I am so excited to talk about these movies.
Me too. And we thought maybe it'd be difficult to rank these because some of them we haven't seen, and sometimes one of which I have not seen. But we both found it pretty easy to just go off our guts, and we'll see how that changes.
I felt like Kerouac sitting down and writing on the road. It just flowed out of me by rankings for the first.
I hope this is a recurring thing where you are able to bring in the most lofty figures.
I am referencing Jean-Luc Godard and Kerouac. And this is going to be difficult, I'd say, overall with this podcast. This is what I got to check myself about.
Okay.
With Matt is like, Paul has to check himself about this is... I can get up my own butt talking seriously about these movies, but I got to keep in mind sometimes people just want to laugh.
But sometimes they want the serious thing.
But then you got to make sure you're not just a goofball the whole time, that you don't talk about how you really actually love these movies so much. So,
I think you are free to say
high, low,
wherever the movies take you. Mm-hmm. And in a way, you can't be blamed.
Right.
Because these are... to a movie, 100% effective and the best of filmmaking has to offer. So you're only going to respond to what they're giving you.
Right.
And the listener will only respond to what you're responding to. And everyone won't know anything's not perfect.
That's... Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So we'll start with the first one, right?
I think that makes sense. Yeah.
Well, my friends and I once did a day-long marathon of the Police Academy movies, and we decided to watch them backwards because we're like, those movies are diminishing returns.
Yeah.
And our energy, the wind is going to be at our back more with these back, you know, with these last ones.
Yeah.
And then we get to end on a high note.
Yeah.
If you're going to, if you and your buddies are planning on Labor Day like I was before my junior of college to watch these Police Academy movies.
Or like we're going to for season 5 of this podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. Trouble in Moscow or whatever it is.
All right.
Okay.
So it's not called number one.
It's just Friday the 13th.
Yeah. They didn't even know.
They had no presumption. Like, they didn't want to presume.
They knew they had a title. And
but
that's
they did know something at the end of the movie. Like, I don't want to spoil.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But they knew enough. They gave you just the right amount.
They do, they do. Which, I love the when a movie ends with a first, that E.T. ripoff, Mac and Me, ends with, like, he blows up a cartoon bubblegum bubble and it says, we'll be back. Oh, it's like, whoa.
That is a bold statement.
That's like a guy at a first date being like, oh, see you at the wedding.
She'll call me. You know, I'm just realizing, I don't want to get into it too much, but that little thing at the end of the first movie is very much in line with Halloween as well. It's not quite the same type of thing, but it is a sort of like, gotcha.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't see that.
And also, perhaps, a nod to Carrie.
Yeah, right.
Which,
very much so, yeah.
Oh, I love these movies more than anything, but they are unabashed in their rip-offery.
Yeah,
so, like,
right.
When you watch the first Friday the 13th, that's Halloween, Psycho, Carrie. Right. They don't care. They're
it's hip hop. Like, they're taking stealing from the best to make one piece of art that is just
a beautiful sample. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what do you give it out of 13?
I'm going to give the first Friday the 13th on a scale of 1 to 13, 0 to 13, a 12.
Wow. Very nice.
What about you?
I'm going to give it an 11.
Okay.
Because for some reason I haven't in my mind, and I haven't seen the first two in a long time, that 2's better.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that's really the case.
Mm.
So you can probably guess what my number 2 is going to be. But
I'm really trying to avoid a shit joke here, but
you can go. You can feel free.
Well, you said number 2.
Oh.
What is your number 2?
12.
12.
Yeah.
Okay.
So because it
it
does take a step toward the franchise, you know. Well, we'll get to it, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. My number 2 is a straight up 13.
Nice.
So when you said you remember the second one being better than the first, in my mind, I was like, right on.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm glad you got a 13 in there because I do as well, and I think people that don't use the full spectrum, at least at the top end of something, like there has to be the gold standard, you know?
Right.
You're judging the franchise, not this franchise to other franchises.
That's right.
Yeah, because honestly, they're incomparable. You can't.
I think I said this on James Bonding, and, you know, people should listen to that. I don't know if I made that clear.
I don't know if you did, but
you're right. In my episode, these Paramount Pictures had two franchises in the 80s. They had the Star Trek movies and the Friday the 13th movies. And I'm not the biggest Star Trek movie fan or Star Trek fan, but the fans say the even ones are the best. Mm-hmm. And I would say that's the same true of the Friday 13th. I like the even ones more.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
You're right.
So do you think some think tank at Paramount Pictures was like, guys, we need to make sure the odd number ones aren't as good as the even ones in the Star Trek and Friday the 13th movie. Okay, let me rephrase that. We know that happened.
Yes.
Where did it happen?
The proof is there. Well, let's get to the bottom of it. Do it. That's your true crime podcast right there. Number three. 3D. Hmm. This one, I don't remember liking that much. Mm. Even though it's where you get so many of the tropes. I think I've been a little harsh on it. I'm going to go 8.5.
Wow.
That's a little low, isn't it? Yeah, that's a little low. I bet you I like that.
That surprise was as great as one from a horror film. This is shock I felt there. Oh, and I didn't get to, yes, and, improv term, what you said earlier about it liking slasher movies. I think one of the many reasons I like these movies is slasher movies are scarier to me than paranormal.
Yes,
yeah,
I'm with you.
The idea that somebody's out there who could kill you.
Yeah.
A lot scarier than some wizard,
right, or
put a curse on my dad.
Uh-huh, or a doll.
Yeah. Oh, dolls can't kill people.
No, people do.
For me, number three, can I repeat a number? It's 12. I like it as well.
Now I'm so
first.
Excited to see this because I must be remembering it wrong because I trust your instincts. There were, by the way,
what were your memories of part three that made you have it lower in your?
I haven't seen it in a while, and just hearing you give it a 12. By the way, Paul and I each interviewed 100 other people to be our partners in this.
Uh huh.
And we had a blind control thing where we could choose whoever we want. We both chose each other. Because this whole thing's been produced. Like, we were placed on this.
Yeah, it's like the monkeys.
Exactly. Yeah. And we
not
chose
the band.
Each other. No. The podcast was a bunch of monkeys.
Yeah. That they were. Those were, a lot of people don't know that podcast with those little monkeys. Those were all handpicked. Those monkeys weren't friends before.
No. And
somebody wanted to like that podcast that's hosted by those animals, the Beatles. Somebody was like, "That's really popular. We should get monkeys, but let's control the personalities."
Yes, that's true.
Oh, God. Okay.
So what do you love about that film so much?
I like the... it has the same director as part two, Steve Miner. And I feel like that was a dude...
Interesting.
He knew how to make a suspenseful slasher movie. So there's a lot of good in it.
Yeah.
Like, it's well made. And the last half hours of like part two and three are tough to beat.
Okay. So now this is just shot up in my anticipation category.
Number four,
the final chapter. Mm-hmm. First of all, the title alone, we're not even halfway through the series.
Right.
And we've got the final chapter.
So this to the guy on the first date who's saying she's going to call me back.
Yeah.
Part four, saying it's the end, is like, we're broken up.
Basically, the genius of the franchise of Friday the 13th is that it is a four-part saga with eight epilogues. And they intended it that way, okay? Lest you should think that is like wasn't planned. This was, we want to tell a story in four parts, and then we just want to wrap eight different things up at length, okay?
You know, like when you're watching a TV show, your favorite part a lot of times is that last 30 seconds that comes in, like when the credits are rolling.
Yeah, let's draw that out. Let's make that the meat of the matter.
Yeah.
But I love this movie.
Yeah.
It's always been my favorite one. We watched it. This is the one I've seen the most recently.
Mm-hmm.
And it is way more camp than I remember because this is the one I also saw the most as a kid because I think it actually has one of the better stories too.
Yeah.
And your character involvement, because you got Tommy in there, which then sets up a whole nother arc. Yeah. So I give this one a Friday the 13th perfect score.
Wow. 13.
A Jason's dozen.
A sweet Jason's dozen. A Jason's cupcakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's a 12.5.
Oh, God. Oh.
So it's a... I like the... Yeah, you know... With those first four, they have, like, built-in... I don't want to say gimmicks, but it's like the first one, you're coming to the theater because your friends are telling you there's a scary movie called
Friday. You saw Halloween.
Yeah, yeah.
Good title.
You saw part two because it's the first sequel to this movie, like, right?
Right.
So part three, they were like, 3D.
Right.
That'll be the thing that brings them back. Then they were like, what do we do to get them back? We'll say it's the last one.
Right.
And so then after this, the idea of how do you keep getting people to come back, it gets a little... It's tougher.
Yeah, it definitely goes to a boardroom of marketing people.
Yeah.
Hear me out.
Okay. These Jason masks are flying off the shelves. Now, they're glow in the dark, and they're off-brand. And we're not seeing a penny for them. But
why aren't we making an official mask? My kid's got them. I don't know where he got them. He doesn't play hockey. I said this before, we live in tropical climates.
I do like the, when you're a kid, the off-brand Jason, you just see like, this is totally off to the side, the digression, but the, my favorite Halloween costume for a kid who has to like, it's the day of and you didn't really think about it is when, somebody would just go as quote unquote weird. I mean, like, I got a clown wig and I'm weird and done.
Oh, I pity those people because
like, I'm weird.
I've been there.
Yeah.
Oh. Do you think that also in part four, it's kind of like part three is where he gets everything he needs to become the Jason we know and love today.
Right.
But part four is where he uses it.
He
knows who he is. He's coming to himself. He's got, Jason gets his groove back. You know, he is fully formed.
Well, and to imagine we're watching it, it's like what you said, you kind of watch them out of order when you're a kid, or like after I saw part eight on Cinemax, it was like probably the next one I saw was like part five on USA Network, like edited and stuff. Right. So like, it just becomes a whole, mishmash, but like my point was like, imagine if you were I'd love to hear the stories, the tales from the people who, how awesome it would have been to be 17 years old when part two comes out and you get to sit in a theater every year a new one comes out, right? Because these were like 80, 81.
People are
like
going to say that about the Fast and the Furious franchise to us when we're old. And well, I'll say I've never seen them.
When the Saw movies were coming out, at the time I would complain to my friends. I would be like, man, I wish we had a Friday the 13th that was out. Like, so every year we got excited because it was Friday the 13th and we're going out and seeing a new Jason movie. How cool would have that been? And then I'd be like, well, it's happening now with the Saw movies. And But I have a theory. I think people are... sometimes you're more nostalgic for the stuff that came out 2 years before you could have been a part of it.
It's a grass is greener sort of thing.
Yeah.
Where you just assume it must have been more magical than what you're experiencing.
Right.
Yeah. Although even though the shitty middle Halloween movies are no good, they did, I want to say, I know at least two of them, if not three, kind of came out in a year
intervals. I think like four and five, like and, less than a year.
And I remember... loving that.
That's awesome. Yeah. Because, the first one I saw in the theater was Jason X.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I saw that one in the theater, too.
Did you see it at the Coral Ridge Mall in Coralville, Iowa?
Yeah, that was
Were you there, too?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Cool.
Yeah,
yeah. So I said, I said my four. So five.
New beginning. I go low on this one. I don't think it's that well regarded. We won't talk about why exactly till the time comes, but I give it a 7.
Yeah, I'm going to go with an 8.5.
Okay.
Here.
Part of it is, I won't say what it is, but there is a reveal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aside from the reveal, what they reveal is somehow not that the reveal is disappointing. It's the... I can't even talk.
What?
Well, just who the reveal is also very disappointing. I don't know.
It's Right. It's, I guess if you looked at the franchise, it's maybe when it starts losing the yeah. grips. I wonder what that is for other people with, like, say the Fast and Furiouses. Have they hit one yet? Where people kind of go like, eh.
Well, they, as the way I understand it is it kind of peters off pretty quickly, but then they revive it when Rock comes back in or comes in.
Right. Because yeah, good. Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
People said it's sort of drifting away That's from right. quality.
Alabama Drag. If that is one, I don't think it is. But every franchise, if you've got this kind of longevity, it's going to wane and
yeah.
wax and
wane. And that's what's fun. Uh-huh. The thing we're doing right now, that's what's fun about a movie, a franchise that has a bunch of them.
Yeah.
You get to talk with friends.
That's right.
And compare what you like and you don't like. Yeah. And hey, if you have no vested interest in the Friday the 13th movies, I went through this phase where I would just turn on sport. I don't follow sports, mm-hmm. but I would listen to guys argue about sports because there was something satisfying about people passionately talking about a thing that I don't have my own argument
oh.
toward.
Oh.
So I don't have to like sit and be like, hear people talk about The Last Jedi. And I'm like, I have very strong opinions yes. and I just have to sit here and listen to this. Like, it's the same with like, yeah. So maybe even if you're a person who's not a fan, just hearing two guys talk passionately about, mm-hmm. Maybe the most important stuff globally that's yeah. going on today.
Yeah, you should be involved. This is basically a civic duty. And also, the lovely thing about a franchise this big, same thing with James Bond, is that 100% we're all going to have different opinions. No one will have the exact same like spectrum of an enjoyment of these film franchises.
Right.
And all of our differences should be celebrated.
Yep.
So people, some people out there, there's a person out there that loves New Beginning. And mm-hmm. loves the twist.
Yep.
And I celebrate you, sir or ma'am. I don't feel the same, but I hope you celebrate my right to not feel the same.
And I don't know if this technology will be developed yet. I think it will be. But at that moment, if mm-hmm. this worked, if all went according to plan, a digital hand should have come out of your speaker
yes.
and shook your hand in that moment.
Yeah, podcast handshake.
If it could tell in your heart that part five is your favorite... And it released a dove, too.
That's right.
A digital dove.
Bless it.
So, part five.
Okay.
Part six.
Love
now,
it.
Now, oh, you do?
I do, yeah.
That's great, buddy.
Yeah.
And that's called, like, I think Jason Lives
uh-huh.
Friday 13th.
And, oh.
Like, I don't even know
subtitle before the main title.
I believe.
You may be right.
Okay. What's a term we can use when we're sort of sticking our necks out? We don't necessarily know what we're talking about. Mm. Then we can go like, I sure hope Jason doesn't get me for this one.
Okay. Yeah.
You say that or
that's, going to check outside to see if everything's when the girl in part four, go into the raft.
Yeah.
When
I'm just going to go to the raft.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh boy, yeah. I don't know if he's going to get it.
Or take yeah. a swim. I'm just going to take a swim.
Or you could, yeah, baby, go like, I'm going to go take a swim. I'm not too crystal lake clear on this. But these are all good.
These are solid.
I'm
a solid 12 on this one.
Damn.
Because I think that this is doing what Jason does and doing it the best. It is fun. Horseshack from
right.
Welcome Back Cotter's in this thing.
He gets in there.
Yeah.
Cracks us up.
Yeah. And yet, I haven't seen it in a long time, so I'm really looking forward to that. Plus, you've got some return characters, some continuity
That's
as
right.
well. Grown
yeah.
up. Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah. This is a grown-up Friday 13th.
It's a real jump forward in time.
It's Wolf Blitzer's favorite. The man of esteem and taste.
Where are you?
Well, this is so funny because, Matt, right when you're referencing how we're going to have difference of opinion.
Yeah.
This is, for me, a 9.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, see, I'm
people are already, I can't wait to get to that part 6 episode to know why these guys feel this way.
Why they are so polar opposite, even though it's only 3 points apart on the spectrum.
Above the teeth chattering sound, you'll also hear just the teeth will be gritted with rage at each other and hostility.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to just hear my fists clenching. Then we've got part 7, yes. The New Blood.
The New Blood.
Mm-hmm.
The Carrie one.
Yeah, very much. We got a little more supernatural element added to the series.
Right. Do you think the new blood thing was because it was, she's sort of like a Carrie, like a, this is sort of the Jason, spoiler, I'm sorry, Jason versus Carrie, Friday 13th, right?
Yeah, but she's, is she the titular new blood? Or is he, or is it more metaphorical?
Yeah, or is it like a reference to like, Carrie was covered in blood. Yeah. So they're like, this is actually new blood. Carrie was old blood. Yeah. She had old blood on her. Now this person has new blood on them. I bet so.
I think you're right. I think when the boardroom was pitching all these things, all of those came up, and whoever owns this franchise and doesn't give a damn about it at this point just goes, all of it, put it in, but yes, don't please. Explain it. Just put it in. New Blood's the title. Well, make the poster. Think, then shoot the movie.
I do think after four, the guy who was like a big, a cheerleader, the person who like kept the trains running on time was Frank Mancuso Jr.
Oh, I know that name now.
And I think around part five is when he started taking a step back. So maybe you could say he's the... He was a bit of the quality
control. He's the
control.
Old blood.
He's the old blood.
Yeah.
Yep. Now we have our answer. Yeah. For this one, this is, I guess, my lowest yet, a 6.5.
That is. For me, it's the seventh movie in the franchise. It's also a solid 7.
Oh, 7 for 7.
Yeah, 7 for 7.
Was that intentional?
No, but I remember, I've seen this one more recently than some of the others and, you know, feeling like... it's stepping out of the franchise a little too much. Like, I don't like, feels like a comic book crossover.
Yeah. I think from what, if I remember correctly, I think they wanted to do a Freddy versus Jason here.
Oh.
And Freddy was top of the heap.
He was not available.
Basically, I think they were like, it's sort of like if Pepsi came to Coke and was like, do you want to do a movie together? And Coke's like, no, we're doing fine. We don't need you. Like,
hey, Indiana Jones, it's me, MacGyver. I got this script I wrote.
It's us going on an adventure, and I'm the hero.
Well, talk to young Indy. He does TV. I don't. There's two of them, at least.
And you're both on ABC, and I sound like John Wayne.
I'm Indiana Jones.
What's the hilarious Josh Fadem, one of the funniest people on earth, the LA comedian Josh Fadem, a great actor. He did an impression of Harrison Ford, and it's get off my plane, Chewie. I hate snakes, Chewie. I hate them. It was like anyway. I just felt like if I'm doing John Wayne as Harrison Ford, I got to give credit where credit's due. And partly in my brain, Josh Fadem influenced that, right?
And I think that's fair. Yeah.
And Josh Fadem is known to be very litigious.
He listens to every podcast. Well, he has transcripts made,
and then he sues people who even come close. To having their fingerprints on his work.
The legal work we had to go through to even get this thing off the ground.
Oh, boy.
Jeez.
But yeah, I think they were like, Freddy was like, the Freddy people were like, we're doing just fine. We're at our peak. Yeah. We don't need to make a Jason movie with you. And then like two desperate losers on prom night, they eventually were like, hey, we can find. But I think because they couldn't get Freddy, they're like, well, what's next? Carrie.
Right.
Yeah.
And do you think that they had a script already and they kind of like,
oh, that's interesting.
No, probably not. I'd be made. But when Freddie and Jason do finally get together, it does feel like when Sammy Hagar and David Lee Roth both toured with Van Halen. A little bit like, we are the ultimate rivalry and now we need each other.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And turns out they weren't really the problem, I don't think. Anyway, Jason Takes Manhattan.
Jason Takes Manhattan. I would give this a... Eight.
Forgive me. I'm going to go 10. If not only for the revelation that Crystal Lake is apparently has an inlet that gets you out to the Hudson River. That alone. Like, you're learning geography. Like, this is world building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it takes us outside the greater Crystal Lake area.
And it honors the geography.
It does, solidly. You can... Who knew that that tiny little lake from the first Friday the 13th could fit an ocean-going cruise liner? I think a small cruise liner.
I think as we'll come to find out, in the same way that the first movie doesn't have any fidelity towards like themselves about not ripping off other things.
Yeah.
I think that same fidelity goes through all of the movies where there's very little care to the idea that like how time is unfolding.
Oh, yeah.
How life works. Once somebody dies, right, they stay dead.
Or how the rest of the franchise works. I get the feeling, and I haven't even seen it, Jason Goes to Hell, probably some people never even watched the other movies when they made that one.
Right. They were like, you know what? What is this? 8 movies, hour and a half each. That's a day that I could be surfing. That's what everybody out in California.
I do 2 things. I make horror films and I surf. Got it? If you're good with that, then we can date. Those are my 2 things and they come first, whatever you say. But otherwise, I'm yours, baby. Jason Goes to Hell.
Jason Goes to Hell.
Here's my history with this.
Mm-hmm.
Though I've never seen it, I was a avid listener of the Mark and Brian radio program here at KLOS 95.5 Los Angeles. And they were known for getting bit parts in many movies. And they are both killed in this movie. So I have heard the audio of their deaths played on the radio from this film. And I know they're cops.
What other movies are these guys in?
There might be TV shows and stuff like that. I don't know. They would just go for these bit part things.
And it's remember. Like when somebody's a fan of the radio show, they're like, hey, let's get...
Yeah, they'd get him into things.
What was their name? What
Mark and Brian. And Mark is currently a DJ on a LA radio station in the morning. I forget what it is.
What about Bri Bri?
I don't know what happened to Bri Bri. Hmm. I mean, I know he doubled his name and said to go by Bri Bri, but I don't know.
Too bad one of us isn't named Brian that we could call this Bri-Day the 13th. Both of us are called Brian.
Yeah.
Mom, Dad, you screwed up by giving us these.
A little of foresight wouldn't have hurt.
But hey, we both, each of us wrote a book of the Bible.
That's right. And my middle name is James, so we got 3 there. What's your middle name?
Robert. Oh, God. Well, you know what? Can we actually make can we lower part 8 to a part 7 now? Just out of a response to that. So number 9, what was... Oh, you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Do you want to do a speculative?
I'm going to do a speculative, and I'm going to give it... Oh, you know what? I know. I'm very aware that this is most people's low point for the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, like, without thinking... Am I human with my own free will? Gave it a low score, but I'm gonna think that I'm actually gonna enjoy what an oddity this is and bump it up to, I'm gonna say an 8.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Probably is not.
I from what I've gathered, going on to like Reddit, Friday 13th Reddit.
Yeah,
there are some people, it seems to me, who like, but it is, it's for me, from what I've gathered. Might be controversial. Uh-huh. I think it is, admittedly, for those people, it's like it was the first one they saw, or they like, if they like 1993 cinematography.
Who doesn't? Great year.
But the same way that we like, stuff that looks like the early 80s is just hits a pleasure part of our brain. I think for younger people, if they just like early 90s stuff, but... Sounds like for us, maybe that's when we were already hitting our snob period.
For me, certainly.
Yeah.
I'm not proud of it. Yeah.
That's fine. Everybody's got to do it.
Yeah.
Just like how every movie has to have a boring part.
Uh-huh.
Any film lover has to have
every franchise
snobby phase.
Has to have a Jason Goes to Hell. Maybe it's the outlier, like the Halloween 3 in the series.
Right.
Even though I know this fits into there, but my understanding is it
is a pretty big
outlier. You don't see
outlier.
Much of Jason. Right?
Yeah. So that's why I'm going to give it. A 5.5.
I had a 6 down here.
It is my least favorite.
Okay.
But I got to say, I'm buoyed by that you haven't seen it. That's going to be the thing that gets me through that episode.
You get to watch it with fresh eyes.
Yeah, and I'll get to be like, oh, I can't wait to... Oh, and we haven't even pointed out, how great is it that your last name is Gore Lee?
I know. That's something I never got teased about.
Because it's cool.
I guess. Well, they were calling me girly, so you couldn't pass that up, you know.
Yeah. That didn't even occur to me.
Oh, thank you. The fact that you went straight to Gorley means we are meant to be here.
What about nobody called me crusty, but I always felt like that was out there if they wanted to.
Yeah, but rust is essentially the color of blood.
Yeah, we got two good last names for a horror movie.
Yeah, and Paul, even though it's not spelled the same, like the P-A-L-L, right?
Yeah,
like
I've thought before how my name is like a shadow of doom and old.
Yeah. Like decay.
Yeah, and I love...
Doom and decay.
Yes, and I love... My favorite thing in life probably was when you could open up a CD and open it up and smell it.
Yeah.
When something's like new and fresh is my favorite thing.
Oh.
So to be...
The opposite.
Yeah.
You are doom and decay, and I am matte like a dull finish and graphically violent. Dull and violent. You're doom and decay.
And dull and violent.
And I'm dull and violent.
Which maybe is probably all these movies could be fit under those four terms.
I think so.
So number 10, the Jason X.
Yeah, named like the iPhone. They just went with the X.
Right, because it sounds cool.
Was this around the time Malcolm X came out too? And they were just like, we've run out of horror tropes to steal. Let's just
let's go into
the civil rights game.
Also, probably, were they using X yet for technology stuff? Was the iPhone X the first time? iPhone 10 the first time?
Didn't they do that with their operating, like their desktop operating system or something?
Because the Jason X has a bent of they like roboticized.
Yeah, they.
So I wonder if that was like a. I know it's partly out of they lost the title. They couldn't use Friday the 13th anymore.
Oh,
legally.
I didn't realize that.
They bought the New Line Cinema, I think, retained the writer. Sean Cunningham got the... But it was like, we own Friday the 13th, so that's why it's called Jason Goes to Hell and Jason X.
Oh, that's right.
And Freddy versus Jason, because that title. And, hey, we can have this conversation later, but who knows if we'll... These movies... Our podcast will get to experience an announcement for another Friday the 13th movie. Maybe we'll get to live in that time.
Maybe we'll make it happen.
Because if a new Friday the 13th came out with I know they did the reboot, and it was great, but like if they did another one and it didn't have that godforsaken Jason in the title, just a clean...
Also, what idiot did a deal for this franchise and didn't get the name?
That's the first day of shooting. I know we're all here for Friday the 13th Part 9. Yeah! Okay. Hold on.
What?
Well...
By the way, before you even say anything, I've made some t-shirts. We got the poster done.
Yes.
Some billboards.
Now, do the t-shirts describe the plot of this movie? Jason? That the premise of this movie is that Jason goes to hell?
Well, we're just thinking Friday the 13th Part 9.
Well, you know how most people, when they make t-shirts, it's the log line of the movie, not the title?
No, huh?
Yeah, sometimes they do that. I think we should do that here. Let's just call it Jason Goes to Hell for now.
Well, you're the producer, and besides, I don't even work here. I'm just...
Wait a minute.
I'm a vagrant.
Robert Englund!
That's me.
Oh, you snuck on here to sabotage us all. That was a boneheaded move.
Mm-hmm.
But, did I said no, I didn't say
you didn't
my 10.
Say, no.
I didn't say my 10. Six.
Six. I have a feeling I'm not gonna like this one, but I distinctly remember having a great time in the theater
with it.
Because it was like it's really a parody.
Yeah.
It really plays with the tropes.
It's coming out of probably that 7 year span of Scream era.
Yeah.
And I love Scream.
Yeah.
But it had pretty bad influence, I think, on horror movies.
I agree.
The next, like that sort of winky stuff.
Yeah. And
and I think it also has ruined other franchises, may I say. I'm not going to get into it.
Oh.
Little winky stuff.
Yeah.
Little jokes.
I agree.
Don't like it.
No, me either.
Keep it out of my franchises.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, I am with you 100%.
Just be earnest.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to like... And also... If people are here to see a Friday the 13th movie, it's because they love Friday the 13th. You don't need to be above it and be cool.
You don't need to bring them into the franchise. You're preaching to the converted, Luke.
It's the way I think about it is like, if you're having a house party
and
playing music and everybody's dancing.
Right.
And then you start going, well, what music can we start playing to get people out on the street to come in?
Uh-huh.
You risk, A, maybe those people don't want to come in and dance.
Right.
And B, the people who are dancing are going, why are you playing new stuff? We're digging the tunes you're playing,
and
man.
And you should be appreciating them. They're doing what you set out to do.
Yeah.
I can't believe this person's doing this.
Yeah. But the Jason X, I did have a great time at the movies when I saw the movie. Maybe it was enhanced by my first Jason movie. And also, the first kill is amazing.
Is it the sleeping bag kill?
No.
No, that's the...
It uses a little... frozen, they could turn things into ice quickly.
That's right. Oh, I remember. It's like the opposite of a French fryer.
Right. I think there's a sign up above it that says opposite French fryer.
Yes, right. I was thinking I saw this movie recently, but it's not. I listened to the How Did This Get Made on this movie, which is very
Who did you have?
No, it was Paul Scheer's How Did This Get Made. They're very similar titles.
Forgive me.
No, please.
Matt.
I have called my own podcast How Did This Get Made and vice versa.
No, but I like it because I feel like when the title poses a question, it makes you very enticed.
It gets you involved. You become interactive.
Yes.
You're now asking someone a question. It's, yeah.
They covered it. Jason X. So instead of that episode, I guess we should just re-air theirs?
I guess so. We can do a crossover. Cool. But I have it as a 9.5 because I remember having such a good time.
That's good.
And liking it. It took a risk. Maybe not.
It took a risk.
Probably not at the time at all. Yeah. All right. Freddie V. Jason.
Freddie V. Jason. For me, man, this one's an 11.5.
I'm a 7.
Whoa, not since part 6 has there been such a discrepancy.
This is our biggest discrepancy, I think.
Whoa.
Because I saw this in the theater too, and I, for some reason, all I remember is being underwhelmed, but I don't remember anything about the movie, so I'm very curious to see it again.
It's a little bit more, I will say, a little bit more of a Freddy movie than a Jason movie.
I was never a big Freddy guy.
So if you're not a Freddy guy, you could probably be like, even if you like chocolate and peanut butter, you might like one more than the other. And if you're eating a Reese's and there's just too much peanut butter,
you're right. You're
like, good boy.
Yeah.
That's what I don't like about those big cups.
Yeah, I'm with you.
The distribution's off.
No, it's all about the proportion.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's the same with Freddy versus Jason. You're like, your Freddy got in my Jason too much.
Uh-huh. And I'm a Myers Voorhees Freddy guy in that order from way back until the day I die.
Until one of them kills you.
That's right. And I hope it's... Oh, I don't hope it's...
It's weird because I do think more people like Freddy than Jason. And even people who like movies who seem to be film fans like Freddy versus Jason because I think they're a little more imaginative or whatever.
I don't like my killers quipping one-liners.
Me neither.
I don't like them self-aware.
Me neither.
I like them cold, brainless killers that you can't understand why they're doing.
And I can't believe it's taken this long for me to say this, but what I love, I think, about the Friday the 13th movies in general is their, I'll say it, Matt, their haiku-like simplicity.
I agree.
Just, there's not, I don't, I'm one of those people who watch a movie and I can watch it 5 times and I don't know what's happening plot-wise. I just like... maybe there was an interesting performance.
Yep.
Maybe somebody was wearing a jacket I liked.
Same.
I don't at all keep my bearings in this. So with these movies, the fact that they go, hey, man, first half hour is you're meeting them.
Yep.
Second half hour is they're getting knocked off. And the last half hour is it's Jason and one other person there or whatever.
I'm with you. In fact, when these movies deviate from that is when you really have a problem.
Yeah, so maybe I'm kind of going against, I'm contradicting myself with the Freddy versus Jason because that boy is, they're trying to really sweat it, get these two things to make sense, how they could coexist in the world.
I'm looking forward to seeing it.
So that was 11.
And then the last one is the reboot from, is it 2009?
2009, I believe so, yes.
That's right.
Which I guess these last three I all saw in the theater. I saw Jason X. I saw Freddy versus Jason, and I saw the reboot all in the theater.
Me too. Yeah.
And they're fun to watch. Yeah. And I do partly think, I was remorsefully, you know, I was like, oh, we didn't ever get to see the originals in the theater. I wonder how much that would influence my love of these, you know, because I saw some of the ones that people don't even really like that much in the theater.
Me
and
too.
I loved them.
Yeah. Same here.
Yeah. Yeah. So for you,
I'm an 11.5 on this freebie.
Matt, I'm an 11.5 as well.
Oh, God. I think it's good. I think it's really good.
I really love it. Yeah. And I was disappointed that they didn't. That wasn't the spark that lit the fire of more. Because if they would have continued, this is just rumor, but I heard that the follow-up to that one was going to take place in wintertime.
I heard that too. And
how cool would that have been?
I had Derek Mears, who plays the Jason in that film, on my podcast. Now I'm questioning the name of my podcast.
Where did you come from?
Making it? You made it too. I was there too. And he's a dear friend and the nicest person. And hopefully we can talk to him at some point and find out a little bit more about that.
Yes. Yeah. Cause, I thought and we'll have a full 4 hours. That's what I'm imagining each of these episodes.
You're not wrong because we're already about an hour and a half on just what should have been a small teaser, but you know what?
I love it.
I wouldn't cut a single part of this.
Like it's like your children mm-hmm. or like the movies in the Friday the 13th franchise. You can't
have a favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, but you should.
As we just demonstrated, you could rank them to the 0.5
degree. Season 6 of this podcast will be ranking our children. That gives us enough time to have multiple children.
Procreate and breed.
We'll be ranking our children.
That reboot was real good. Kills were good. Jason was real scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got, like, hair.
Yeah, he's got some tufts.
Like, straggly hair.
Yeah. Well, they bring it back to, like, that he's a guy just out in the woods.
Yeah,
which
he's
is
a survivor.
Very, very scary.
Eating nuts
and as you'll find out, once they start, and this is going to say, with part 6, people love it, but I don't like the thing where you're running from Jason and then he appears in front of you.
Yeah, he teleports essentially. Yeah. I'm with you.
And that's what I liked about, you know, in the reboot advertises and all their posters, no teleportation. Yeah. Like, don't worry.
Don't worry. I'm with you on that, and I actually, even though in some of the wackier ones it's fun, I like a more grounded Jason, and they really, like, he's not supernatural in this reboot. They give you just enough history like the franchise does, but also give him just enough reality where they show where he's living and kind of what he's eating.
Yeah.
And that, to me, was just enough to go, oh, God, it feels real.
Yeah. So... wow, what a journey we went on just with this ranking.
That's
because we were together on the journey at the beginning, then we sort of diverged. Mm-hmm. The second to last one, we were radically different.
Oh boy!
But then at the very end, there for the first time, we had the same number.
We ended, and I wonder how it will really come out. We'll keep these papers. The first episode will be out Friday. The 13th, July 13th.
Oh, boy. I'm glad you went the length that you did that, because that'll help people when they're making their loops and their mixes and songs, that they have a really good, clean...
A bed
that they could use.
We look forward to hearing your listener song submissions. And Paul, I, for one, have... rarely been this excited to have a podcast laid out in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is going to be a blast.
I'm so stoked. I'm so excited. If you took the fear that I felt watching Friday 13th Part 8 the first time and made that fear excitement, anticipation.
Yeah.
That's what I'm feeling right now.
Uh-huh. I want to make a movie called Jason Goes to Heaven. That's what I feel like. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good. And then he's like greeted there by like Hendrix.
And Joplin and all the 27-year-olds or whatever it is. I don't know. I don't know. Cobain.
Jason died when he was 27. He's part of the 27 Club.
I hope so.
Or maybe he's part of the overweight comedians 33 Club, the Belushi Farley Club, and maybe Jason.
Well, let's keep an eye out for that, because we won't count the young death in the lake, because he doesn't die.
Presumably not.
He's just swimming down there for a film.
He has I think he has some sort of like hose down there that he breathes from.
Yeah, there's an old car that he's got the tire thing going. So we have to figure out when the first time is he's killed. I guess it'd be at the end of part two.
Right.
What age we think he is at that point.
Yeah. And was he 27 or 33? Was he a rock star or a funny Saturday Night Live alum?
Yeah. These are the things we're going to get to the bottom of, because this is part film exploration, but it's also true journalism. And
right.
Yeah.
I mean, if this podcast doesn't win us a Peabody, I'll consider it a failure.
Yeah. What is Peabody's even for?
Well, I think the P is for podcast, right?
It has to be.
Podcast body.
And body for body count for these movies.
We should also keep an eye out for that body count in these movies.
We have an idea for a possible recurring segment. We'll see if it makes its way to you.
Mm-hmm.
All starting in the next episode, Friday the 13th.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.